Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Good morning, LifeLink Church. How you doing? I am excited for this message. We are starting a brand new message series for the month of February called Relationship Goals, and it's going to be just a great time, but I wanted to thank our lead pastors who are in Florida this week for a conference for just the honor of being able to teach this morning. I'm really looking forward to see all that God has for you through this. I've got to say, happy Super Bowl Sunday, right? How many of you love football? Yeah? How about the commercials? How about the food? Yeah, right. Little known trivia, maybe you know this, but Super Bowl Sunday is the second highest food consumption day in America. Super Bowl Sunday. The only holiday that surpasses Super Bowl Sunday, do you know what that would be? Thanksgiving, yes. 60% of all the takeout and deliveries that happen on Super Bowl Sunday, what type of food is that? Pizza, yes. Pizza, I love pizza. But you guys know that every Sunday is super when you are following God, when you know Him, and you're just following His ways. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, as we get started with this series, as we jump into it, I want to pray and ask God's blessing. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together this morning as we open up your word and feast on all that you have for us. God, I pray that these principles from your word today would just go deep inside of us. Help us, Lord, to grab onto them. Let them be a part of our DNA so we can leave this place just changed by your word. So we thank you for who you are, and we ask this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, first of all, I want to tell you who this series is for. This is for singles who are hoping to date, that want to date, maybe are dating. This is for married couples who want to make their marriages even better. This is for people that used to be married and want to jump back into this scary, awful aquarium of dating that is so different than when we were 18, right? Amen. But this series is really for anyone who is in a romantic relationship or wants to be. And the thing is, I don't have to tell you, it is complicated. It's really complicated. It's complicated when you were 18, complicated when you were 21, complicated at 36, and complicated at 50 and better. Amen? It really is. My goal this morning is to challenge you in regards to your relationships. I want to challenge you because I believe that when people are challenged, and I love to be challenged, when we're challenged with biblical principles and we respond to those challenges in positive ways, God does extraordinary things in our lives. Amen? But that doesn't come fast. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come convenient. Certainly isn't comfortable. And we live in a society that wants everything easy. They want everything easy and convenient and as fast as possible. I mean, think about it. We want our food fast. We want to lose 30 pounds in 30 days, right? We want cheat sheets instead of study guides. We want fame overnight. We want handouts instead of hard work. We want welfare instead of a job. We want our relationships easy. We want God's promises without having to go through God's processes. We want our destiny at a discount. Can I tell you something? Greatness never goes on sale. Envision never sleeps. I'm telling you that anything in life that is worth anything will cost us something. It really will. It'll cost us something. And I love it when it came to Jesus Christ, when he was purchasing back his own creation. He didn't go to the enemy and say, how can I buy back my humanity for cheap? Can I just give a little bit of my blood? Can I have 2 whips instead of 39? No, he graciously gave up his life. And you know what? He rocked the grave, right? He rose from the dead. Anything in life that is worth something will cost you something. And relationships are worth something. They're worth something. You know what? They're going to cost us something. Hard work, perseverance, but it will pay off. This series will help you think through the cost of those relationships and hopefully challenge you to respond in a positive way. It's all about thinking differently about yourself and your future in regards to relationships. Today's message is called Relational Myths. Relational Myths. And there are two myths that really drive all the confusion regarding relationship. And like most myths, once you look at them, you're going to go, oh, that sounds so ridiculous. Do people really believe that? Yep, they do. They do. And so, but these two myths, I believe, sit in the undercurrent of our thinking and the assumptions about relationships. And really, they are unexplored assumptions. And in any area of life, whether it be financial or business or academics, whenever there's an unexplored assumption about anything, it's very dangerous. Because it'll inform your decisions, but you don't know that it's informing your decisions. And oftentimes, poor decisions become a result of that. So here's my challenge to you today as we start this message. Honestly, look at these two myths and see if by chance they are driving any of your relational decisions that you make. So if you're taking notes, the very first myth is myth number one, the right person myth. The right person myth. Now, the right person myth is not saying that there's not a right person for you. The right person myth is saying once you meet the right person, that all your problems are going to, boo, vanish, right? And that everything's going to be all right. The right person myth says, regardless of what I do between now and finding Mr. Right, I can play around, I could do what I want, I could treat people the way that I want to, because when I meet the right person, what's going to happen? Everything is going to change. The past is going to disappear. And you think your problems that you have right now that are happening, once you meet Mrs. Right, they're going to be gone. Or maybe you've met Mr. and Mrs. Right, married them, have kids, but now things are not all right. And so you're slowly coming to the conclusion that you may have chosen the wrong Mr. Right, right? And now you're looking for the next Mr. Right. You may say, I am unhappy because I am with the wrong person. And I just need to find the right person. And once I do, everything is going to be okay. That, my friends, is a myth. It's a myth. In fact, you may not only think everything is not going to be okay, that everything's going to be fine when you meet Mr. and Mrs. Right, but somehow that you're going to quit all of the bad habits that you have in your life, that the financial bad decisions, bad habits will just go away. If you could just meet somebody with a little coin, right? And they're going to help you manage your debt and it's just going to get better. If I could just meet the right person. Or your insecurities will just naturally fall away. Or your habit of lusting, that will just go away once you meet the right person. This myth says, I'm going to be a better person, thinking we're going to be fixed by somebody else. And this is what drives this crazy myth. Our culture teaches us that we will not be fulfilled in this life until we meet the one, right? The one. Then we're going to be satisfied. And so often we see a girl who meets that special fella, right? And she goes, oh, he's so cute, and he's so sweet, and so thoughtful, so much fun, such a good provider. I think I've found the one, right? Or the guy, you know, he'll say, she's so pretty and smells so good, and it's so much fun, and I love the way she bats her eyelashes at me, right? And I think I found the one. Because people believe to be really fulfilled in life, you need to find the one. But it's not true. What I would love to hear is, oh, he or she is so incredible. They're so godly. This is so awesome. God is blessing our relationship. I think I've met the two, right? Because culture teaches us that a spouse fulfills us. However, to be really fulfilled in life, God is your one, and your spouse is your two. We put so much pressure on our spouses to be our number one when they were never meant to be in that role. And when they don't meet those expectations, oftentimes the relationship starts to break down. And this is the reason why many marriages fail. Singles, let this be your mantra. I will seek the one while preparing for my two. Marrieds, I will always seek the one with my two. With my two. And see, we don't really hear a lot about this, right? Because for one thing, it doesn't make great TV. It doesn't make great film, right? What makes a great film? Is someone trying to find their Mr. or Mrs. Right and fall in love. And that's what the whole movie is all about. And they finally find each other. But we know they're supposed to find each other. But it takes an hour and 45 minutes for them to figure it out during the movie. And once they do, they get together, they fall in love. And what happens? The movie's over. Apparently, they live happily ever after. Or do they? Here's what I know about love. Falling in love requires a pulse. Falling in love requires a pulse. Staying in love requires so much more. So much more. And that's what this whole series is about. So myth number one, the right person myth. Myth number two, if you're taking notes, the promise myth. The promise myth maintains that when it comes to a satisfying long-term relationships, all we need to do is make a promise, right? And that promise replaces the need to make preparations. Preparation. That you could promise your way into a healthy, mutual, satisfying relationship. And that everything that came before can be overcome by a promise and a party. A vow and a reception, right? That everything can be overcome by that. You're going to stand at the altar. You're going to make this promise. Then you're going to go have this big party. The past is going to disappear. And you're going to become a different type of person. And you can vow your way into the future. Not going to happen. If you're taking notes, it's not about promising. It's about preparing. Promises are no substitutes for preparation. We know this in almost every other arena in life, right? We know this in academics. You can't promise yourself to a degree, right? You have to study. Isn't that right, Theo's Bible College students? That's right. You got to study, right? In sports. In business, in medicine, in discovery, in every other arena of life, in order to win, you must prepare. Today's the Super Bowl, right? No football coach would substitute promises for practices, right? They're not going to go into the locker room today and promise each other that they're going to win. No, they're going to rely on the practices that they have. Because practice is how you win the games. Every coach knows this. You don't promise your way to to win games, what do? You have to prepare to win. And this is true in relationships as well. The rationale that you will win at something that you aren't prepared for is crazy. I do does not equal I can. I do does not equal I can. When you attend a wedding, you wonder if the people that are saying the vows, I do, are prepared to follow through. I mean, their vows were beautiful. The party was awesome. The food was amazing, right? But you think, are they prepared? You don't vow your way into a successful future in relationships. You have to prepare. I do doesn't make you capable. I do makes you accountable. And when you are accountable and you're not capable, you're miserable. Uh-oh, I'm accountable. Uh-oh, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to make this better. You're miserable, right? So here's a brilliant statement. I was working on this all week. If you aren't preparing, you won't be prepared. I know that's deep. I know it's deep. So I'm going to go slow with this. But to be prepared, you must prepare, right? And oftentimes in relationships, common sense is not common, right? To be prepared, you must prepare. If you're taking notes, it's not about finding the right person. I need to become the right person. This is where the message of Jesus comes alive, right? This is why following Jesus makes all the difference in our lives. And you've heard it said from this stage so many times that following Jesus just makes life better. Because it does, it includes making your relationships better. You become a better girlfriend, a better boyfriend, a better spouse, a better parent, just better. And you see, when you follow Jesus, you become the kind of person you're looking for is looking for. You become the kind of person you're looking for is looking for. Following Jesus will help you become. I heard a story about a gal, true story. She's a gal that is on Pastor Andy Stanley's staff, North Point Community Church in Georgia. And this girl grew up in a Christian home, was a Christian. But as soon as she went off to college, she left her Christian ways. She didn't follow in her Christian ways. She started to get into the dating scene, and she was dating all these guys and had all kinds of bad relationships and found out that these guys, man, she just wasn't getting respect that she thought that she could have. But all of a sudden, she meets this one guy, and she thought, this guy is the total package. Good looks, great personality, focused in his schoolwork, and he's a man of God. He's a Christian. So she could not wait to get home on her Christmas break and tell her mom all about this. And so she was there at her house. Her mom was ironing, and she started to gush about this guy. I found the one, Mom. I mean, great personality, really good looking. He is focused. He's getting good grades. And Mom, he's a Christian. And not just Christian in name only. He's like your type of Christian, Mom. I mean, it's the real deal. The mom put down her iron, went over and looked at her face to face and said, honey, a guy like that is not looking for a girl like you. Ouch. You're not the kind of girl a guy like that is looking for. She said that she just dropped to her knees and started weeping. And she said that was the turning point in her life. She decided to become the girl that type of guy is looking for. Her whole approach to relationships was just to find someone. It never crossed her mind that she needed to become someone. Are you looking or are you becoming? Long-lasting fulfillment happens when you become the right person, not find the right person. Jesus says, follow me and you will become. Marrieds, are you still the person your spouse was looking for? Or have you let life and kids and money and stuff and busyness and careers get in the way of what you were becoming? Are you still the person he or she believed they were entering into a relationship with? So Jesus, he enters the pages of history, and it's hard to imagine the kind of culture that he entered into. Prostitution was the way of life. Prostitution was birth control for the Romans and for the Greeks, because they didn't want to keep adding kids to their family and dividing up their money. So this is the culture that Jesus enters into. And in spite of all that, Jesus introduces a brand new relational paradigm. Brand new relational paradigm. And it was a game changer to that first century, got the attention of the Roman world, and has circled the globe ever since. This relational paradigm is simple, it's compelling, it's demanding, but it's rewarding. This one relationship principle is so incredibly powerful, so defining, that it's the driving force behind everything we're going to say in this message series. Near the end of his ministry, in fact, it was in the very last couple days of his time physically here on earth, Jesus gathered his guys together because he wanted to share this relational paradigm with them. His words were so clear, so specific. And at the end of that passage, and I'm going to walk you through it, he gives us marching orders, kind of the North Star that should guide all of our relationships. So here's what he said. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15. If not, it's going to be on the screen in verse 1. He says these words to them. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. So he said, man, I'm the vine, and they understood grapevines. And he says, my heavenly Father's the gardener. He's going to be tending to the vine. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Why? Because the whole goal of Jesus is to explain how people can get connected to him so that they can bear fruit through him. While every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So the whole goal is fruit bearing. You know, your life right now is bearing fruit. It's your reputation. It's the outcome of your decisions. It's the stories that you like to tell, and it's the stories that you don't like to tell. So the idea of having our lives, having a wake of broken relationships or of healthy relationships, a life of debt or financial security, is our fruit. It was based on decisions that you made. So Jesus is talking about something so familiar, yet this principle he is teaching is unfamiliar. And he's saying, I want you to allow me to bear fruit through you. This is all relationship language. Verse 4, remain in me, and I also remain in you. In other words, follow me, stay connected to me. And here's why. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Again, he's talking about something so familiar that if you take the branch off of the vine, it dies, right? It doesn't bear any fruit. So if you're going to bear fruit, and you want to bear fruit, you have to stay plugged into me. Now, here's the application. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Personalize that, right? Personalize that. Neither can you, Chris, bear fruit unless you remain in me. Neither can you, Sue, bear fruit unless you remain in me. We cannot bear fruit the way Jesus wants us to unless we're completely plugged in and connected to him. Verse 5, he repeats some stuff again because he doesn't want them to miss this. I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, this is so cool because Jesus is promising us that you will become a fruit bearer if you stay plugged into him. This is his promise. You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what happens? Something new takes place. You become different. You become better when you're plugged into him. Then he says some amazing distinction about fruit in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Wait. Hold the phone, right? He's kind of changing the subject right now. He was talking about gardens and fruits and vines, and now all of a sudden he's talking about love. Jesus says, hang on. Just as the Father has loved me, just as the Father has demonstrated his love through me, I have demonstrated my love to you. And so here's what I want you to do. Now remain in my love. And this word remain is the same word that he used to describe the branch being connected to the vine. So, to give a high-level summary, our Father's the gardener. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We're supposed to stay connected to him. And when we do, we're in his love. And we're supposed to remain in his love. So here comes the surprise. Verse 10. If you keep my commands, you will remain in me. I'm sure the disciples just lost it and said, I knew it. It was a bait and switch the whole time. It's all about commands and rules, right, Jesus? I knew it. You started off with relationships. You started off warm and fuzzy. But all of a sudden, now you're starting talking about commands and rules. We're with you, Jesus. All right, what are those commands? Someone write these down because I'm sure that there's a bunch of these commands. Jesus, I'm assuming that he was smiling at this time, says, okay, I'm going to tell you. John, write this down. Verse 12, my command is this. And the disciples are like, only one command, Jesus? Really? Yep, only one command. Okay, what's your one command? Love each other. Love each other. We don't need to write that down, Jesus. I mean, we've heard this so many times from you. Jesus says, hang on, I'm not finished. This is about the vine and the branch. I want you to have a special or specific kind of love. I want you to love each other as I have loved you. This is about a relationship that you've seen demonstrated towards you. I want that same type of brand. I want that same type of love. I want that same formula of love to flow through you. Love as I have loved you. Sitting in that room that night, I imagine they had some idea of what he was talking about. But a few days later, Jesus would put on a demonstration of love that would take their breath away because it took his breath away. It took his breath away. On the other side of the resurrection, the disciples went, oh, this is the kind of love I'm supposed to extend to others. This is the kind of love where I put the other person first. This is the kind of love that I lay down my life for a friend. This is the kind of love that I forgive regardless of what has been done to me. This is the kind of love that I do unto others what Jesus has done to me. This is what Jesus means to abide in him, to love the way he loved us. It's costly. It's sacrificial. But it's not complicated. It's not super spiritual. It's all about learning how and letting the love of God, what he has for you, to flow through you. This is how you become a person worth looking for. This is how you shift gears from finding, in marrieds to controlling. If I could ever get him or her to act the way that I want them to, I'll be happy. Jesus says it'll never work out that way. It's all about becoming. I have an idea, Jesus says. Learn from me because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls, and you're going to find peace in your relationships. Because I want to teach you how to love as I have loved you. And I'm telling you, when two people get on board with this, when two people embrace this approach, it's a game changer. It's amazing. This is how you become a person worth looking for. This is how you become a person worth staying for. This is how you prepare to stay committed. This is how you make whatever relationship you're in better, because both people will be moving in the same direction. This kind of person Jesus leads his followers to be is to become the kind of person we are ultimately looking for and ultimately want to become. In conclusion, I want to share a story about a man who was 90 years old and his wife was 88. True story. Over 70 years of marriage. His wife was dying. So they were in a hospital room. Many generations of family were crowded into that room. It was a holy moment. This frail 90-year-old Christian man, whose wife only had moments to live on this earth, picked up his Bible. He turned to Psalms 23, and he read that. And then he committed his wife into the loving hands of Jesus Christ. There wasn't a dry eye in the place. Everyone was crying. He thanked God for 70 years of marriage. He held her hand and said, "I'll see you soon." And with that, a couple minutes later, she passed into eternity. People asked him what his secret was. And he said, "Did we have a lot of problems?" "Yep." "Were there a lot of stressful years?" "Sure." "But one thing we always did, no matter how busy we got, no matter how mad we were with each other, every morning we held hands and we would pray with each other for a few moments. Every day." Friends, they were preparing. They were becoming. Anything in life that is worth something will cost you something. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come fast. It doesn't come convenient. It's not about promising. It's not about finding Mr. Right. It's about preparing. It's about becoming. What you're going to find as you open up the pages of this book and look at the words that Jesus spoke, you're going to go, "Oh, that's the kind of person I want to become. Oh, this is the kind of person that I want to be known for. Oh, I want to love a person who loves me the way that God through Christ loves him or her. I want to become that person. Friends, it's all about focus on what God has for our lives. He has so much for us, and he wants to continue to show his love to us so that we can then take that as an example and show that love to one another. When that takes place, relationships work. When that takes place, you become better. You're prepared and you become all that God has for you. Amen. You get something out of it this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. These closing moments, these are the holy moments right now in our service. This is one of the most important moments because in the entire service, this is where right now, after you have heard the word of God, you get a chance now to respond. So I'm gonna pray right now for each person in here. God, I pray that you speak to your people right now. Help us, Lord, to become the person others are looking for. Help us to love as you have loved us. Help us to put the other person first. Help us to forgive regardless of what has been done to us. Help us to become better followers of you, because we know that following you makes our lives better. Thank you, Lord. As we continue to pray this morning, maybe you're in this place and you were a part of our worship and listened to this message, but you would say, man, I don't have this fresh commitment with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to him. And what he's asking for is for us to get out of the driver's seat and into the passenger seat and let him be the driver of our lives. So if you're here today and you want to take a step toward that relationship with Christ, toward surrendering your life to him and asking him to come into your life, to be not only your Savior, but the Lord or the leader of your life. It's simple. Jesus has made it simple. It's about saying yes in your heart. You say, yes, I give you my life, Lord. I want you to be the driver in my life. I'm tired of driving. That's you this morning, and you've never committed your life to Christ, and you would like to lift up your hand in this place. I see that hand. Are there other hands that you've never committed your life? Maybe you're here and you would say, man, I once committed my life, but I drew it back, and I want a fresh commitment this day, Super Sunday. I want a fresh commitment with Jesus Christ. If that's you, lift up your hand. Say, I want to recommit my life with Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to pray right now. The one that lifted your hand to commit to Jesus, as we pray, believe these words in your heart today. God will come in and make himself real. So congregation, join in with me. Dear Father, I submit to your will today. I accept your Son in my life. I receive Jesus. Forgive me of any wrongdoings. I commit to live for you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. Let's celebrate somebody coming into the kingdom of God today.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.